Well, we're just continuing on with our series on being battle ready. And that theme's been coming through a little bit through worship this morning as well. And I believe it's very important for us. We should see and understand where our battle is fought. And of course, how we are to be strong in that battle. And that's the whole concept of being battle ready, isn't it? And of course, Paul understood this need. And of course, he directed the church in Ephesus to the correct battlefield where we're all intended to go. He directed them to it, and we're all intended to go to that battlefield as well. And today we're going to just remind ourselves a little bit about that. It says, the Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Most important that we're strong in him. In the battle, we can't be strong in ourselves. It's not about biceps and triceps and, you know, all the things that you might get by going to the gym, as much as that does look good. Amen? Okay, it's good. You know, it doesn't say that physical fitness doesn't profit. It just says it profits little. Just profits little, you know. So now there's a little bit of profit in there, you know. If you've been down the gym paying your fees and doing what you do to keep fit, just know that the Bible says that physical fitness profits little. All right? You read that yesterday. So there you go. So, you know, but it's still little. It's good. But praise the Lord. You know, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And, you know, that's what we've been looking to see. Love to see that in God's people, where a believer grows in their strength in the Lord and in his mighty power. You know, it looks a little bit different to a believer who settles on just being religious. All right? You know, that religious thing that we have to now and then recognize and push off a little bit. You know, the believer who just settles on doing good works. That's a little different to what Paul's talking about here to the Ephesians church in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's talking about another level of Christianity that we're called to. And being strong in the Lord is different because it comes from looking unto Jesus. It comes from gaining that connected heart, you know. And get this, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might is for the purpose of battle. It's so that we can fight a good fight of faith. Amen? That battle, it's so his people can join the battle. And people say, well, what battle is that that we're talking about? What is that battle? And they're a little bit confused about that. So the battle that continues to go on that we're talking about is one that continues to rage between good and evil, between righteousness and wickedness, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. It's that battle that we've been called to. And where to fight in that battle. Just remember that as a Christian, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Yeah, that's what happened. The Word of God reached us and we were translated out of the dominion of darkness over into the dominion of God's dear Son. Now, who has dominion over you now? Jesus. We're under his dominion. It's his kingdom. Amen? And he's the king. So we have come under his dominion. And of course, we learn and understand through the scriptures how to work within God's kingdom. But, you know, God's kingdom is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I just really want to get that out, though. I really believe the Lord's saying that to us to remind ourselves that the kingdom of God is about righteousness. And we spend so much time, you know, reaching out, trying to, you know, to get to the point where someone could actually receive that revelation and be translated from the kingdom of God into God's, you know, the kingdom of God's dear Son. But the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace. And, you know, how many of you know when, you know, you came in contact with the gospel and you come in contact with the word and it just brings you a great peace? You know, particularly when, the Lord's behind that revelation that's touching your heart. It just brings a peace, doesn't it? Well, that's the kingdom of God reaching you right where you are. And you know it. And you can feel it. There's something amazing. The Bible talks about it being a peace that passes understanding. I don't know about you, but I like it. I enjoy that experience. The word of God came, you heard it, you believed. That's how you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And in Christ, we have no business being busy under the works of darkness. a couple of weeks ago, we're just talking about that in Ephesians. Ephesians is a good book to read. Ephesians is a great book to read because it talks about some of those areas of the old that need to be put off, and the new man that need to be put on. And but you know, bearing in mind, it's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I like Paul's defence to King Agrippa. You can read the whole of Acts chapter 26 at your leisure. I'll give that out as homework today, all right, Acts chapter 26. But we're just going to read a small passage here. It says, and this is the Apostle Paul talking to King Agrippa, and he's talking about his salvation experience. I was only thinking about this, probably there was a few people who'd heard about Paul falling off his horse or being knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus by the Lord, and hoped that he'd broken his neck as he fell off it, because he was such a notoriety of the kingdom of God at the time. But you know, I thought about it again, and I thought, you know, I still believe that there would have been those believers at that time who knew about loving people where they are. You know, even in those early days of the Christian church, who knew that, you know, it was the spirit working behind Paul or Saul that needed to be bound. And we're going to talk a little bit about binding today. You know, and of course, we see Paul talking to King Agrippa and actually giving an opportunity to share his testimony with the king. It's great scripture. And it says, "Who are you, Lord?" And this is Paul talking about how when he was knocked off his horse, he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus answered him. And the Lord replied, "But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen from me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to what? Open their eyes." That's a mandate right there, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in me. Paul wouldn't have been talking about those things if there wasn't a battle going on. If it was just, "Oh well, I'm saved now, and it's just, you know, just wait until, you know, that chariot swings low, picks me up and takes me to heaven." There's a battle going on. And Paul's getting mandated to go out and be an apostle in the midst of it. "I'm sending you to them to open their eyes." Why? Because their eyes need to be opened. Amen. Paul goes on to say he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I like that. You know, the battle we're called to is all about opening eyes. Remember that. Opening eyes, opening spiritual eyes. It's a battle for hearts and minds. And we know that the enemy, we know this from Scripture, that the enemy is all about blinding minds. I'll say that again. The enemy is all about blinding minds so that they can't, you know, their eyes can't be opened. But, you know, we're called to bind the mind blinder. We'll get onto that today. We'll get onto that. We're called to bind the mind blinder. In other words, our activity should be with that authority, where we come in and we know someone, maybe in the workplace, maybe someone who's far away from God, and our job is to pray for them and bind the mind blinder that's at work in their life. I think a few weeks back we had a lady who got up and shared a testimony, and she said, "We need to cancel the assignment." What was she saying? Same thing. Got to bind the mind blinder. We have authority in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians 6, Paul goes on to explain what we must do, and he tells us to get equipped. He tells us, get equipped. He tells us who the battle is with, and then tells us where the battle rages. I like it. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11 through to 12, it says, "Put on the full armour of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes." If there wasn't a battle to be fought, why would Paul be talking to the Ephesians church about it? "Put on the full armour of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." You know, that person in the workplace who may persecute you. And I've been persecuted in the workplace. Oh, absolutely. For the gospel's sake. For what we're called to do. You know. Actually, I got sacked once, actually. Must admit, I was being a bit unwise with the gospel at the time, but I did get sacked in a workplace for, they were looking at magazines that they shouldn't have been looking at in the workroom, and I said something about it. And the boss knew that there was, you only had to get 3 strikes against your name, and that they could then send you to HR and get you removed from the workplace. And I think the countdown started from that day when I said something about the magazines that they were reading in the workplace. You know, persecution for the gospel's sake, and it can come to us all. You've got to use wisdom, though, you know what I mean? I probably should have been praying a whole lot more than I should have been saying, you know. So, but anyway, you know, it's not for us to be amazed or feel confronted by Paul's instruction. We're told to put the full armour on, and that we're to stand against the devil's schemes. You know, and our stand is very much against the devil's schemes, his lies, his deceptions, his purposes. And of course, his plan is simple. Get the church back into darkness. Get the church back into the place where they're no longer doing God's will. That's the enemy's plan. Get the church frustrated so that they don't seem to be making any progress and just give up. Go back to just being religious. That's no good, is it? God's called us to be battle ready. God's called us to be those ones that are able to get out there and pray and get, you know, get into situations and bind the mind blinder and actually reach people. Check out the Greek word for stand. Stand is the word Greek and anthistomai, which means to oppose fully. It means to forcefully declare one's personal conviction, where they unswervingly stand, to keep one's possession and ardently withstand without giving up, without letting go. That's what that word stand says. And, you know, the battle goes all around, on all around us. This world's darkness, and it's not a natural fight with physical weapons. It's a spiritual one with spiritual weapons. But the Lord's given us the spiritual weapons from which we can fight with. And, you know, we also see Paul defines the structure of the kingdom of darkness as being rulers, authorities, powers of this world's darkness, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. It's a very interesting, you know, start looking at that. But how many of you know some of those rulers could be, you know, structures, antichrist structures set up on those 7 mountains that we hear about? Those authorities, you know, those rulers, the powers of, look what it says, powers of this world's darkness is talking about. Talking about something that's going on in the heavenlies as such. It does talk about the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You know, Daniel found out that God's will on earth is worked out through prayer and with battles in the heavenly realms. You know, he was convinced about it, I believe, when the angel appeared to him in that river, in the river Tigris. And we'll just have a quick little look at it. The angel comes up to Daniel as he's praying there at the river Tigris and says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." He said, "For from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Now, this is all going on in the heavenlies. This is all the battle that's raging as he's just sitting there praying as the man of God at that place. "Now, I've come to explain to you that what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision concerns those days." Daniel prays for 21 days, but the angelic battle rages on while he does. Very interesting to see that. The battle in the heavenlies is not an arena for those that don't know how to persist in prayer. You've got to be able to persist. You know, when was the last time you prayed for anything for 21 days or more? That's just a little self-reflection that you can go away with. You know, but you know, it's important, because what we're doing is we're standing, we're withholding, we're standing our ground against what the enemy would like to do. Amen. And seeing God's will being done on earth. Let's just go back into Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, "Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, stand. And having done all, he says it again, to stand. Just keep standing. Say, but I've been praying for 3 days and nothing's happened. Keep standing. Just keep standing. We don't want to pray for longer than 3 days, usually. It's either we get the answer in 4 days and then we're okay. But if we have to go longer than that, it gets difficult. We don't want to do that. But no, God's called us to be a people that can pray and stand, having prayed. Amen. And of course, what do you do after you've prayed? What do you do for the next 21 days or 30 days or 40 days? What do you do? Just keep... Amen. That's the right answer. I was going to say, keep praying, keep asking. No, we start thanking because we believe we've received. Amen. In fact, the saying we love is that, you know, thanksgiving is the highest expression of your faith. You wouldn't say thanks unless you believe you received it. So after you've prayed, after you've supplicated, after you've known what it is that you're praying for, you begin to thank the Lord. You know, and I just want to put it out there to those of you that are believing for family to get saved. We have to stay and stand. We have to keep thanking the Lord for their salvation. We have to keep saying, Lord, I believe and I see them saved. I love Pastor Margaret's testimony where she talks about sitting on that pew in that church with her kids with an empty seat beside her. She always made sure she had an empty seat beside her. And she put her hands on her and said, I see Barry saved. I see him saved. Thank you, Lord, that Barry's saved. She just kept on praying that and praying that until the day where now he sits beside her in church. Very much instrumental in the life of that church there. Paul is making sure that we know he's talking about standing. He says it again. Stand therefore. Oops. Got a little bit cross there. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Again, why would he be talking about fighting the wicked one and darkness and battle and having on weaponry if there wasn't a battle to be fought? Why would he be talking about it to the early church? We have to, you know, get to the place where we start to recognize and understand that we have a battle to fight and we've got to be battle ready. And look what it says in the last verse, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know, I like that last one there because you know, it's talking about that that sword that we have. And just in case we're left wondering if Paul had now stopped talking about prayer and was now talking about doctrinal truths as he starts getting into the armour, he makes it very clear in that next verse what the armour of God equips us for. It equips us for praying and saying. It equips us for decreeing and declaring. Praying always. Look what it says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that he might speak. He's saying, pray for me that I might speak. Pray for me that I might use this sword in my battles. And I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We could say, as we ought to speak. Speak boldly. And I just want to focus in again on that last verse of, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One translation says, take the sword that the Spirit wields. I love that straight away because it starts getting into, you know, that word that the Spirit drops into your heart. You know, I was as I was focusing on this message and looking to the Lord for different verses that actually fitted what I believed he was saying, and I didn't get this one, but the Lord dropped it into my heart this morning. It's Psalm 144 verse 1. It says, blessed be the rock. You know, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And I'm going, what does that mean? You know, I'm sort of meditating on this. It trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And I thought about it. You know, it's you know, that prayer life that we're called to, you know, where that beautiful picture of our hands and our fingers being trained for war and battle. Amen? And God does do that in our lives. He trains us for it. You know, is it any wonder that as a church we place such a premium, such an importance on the on God's word as such a high priority? It's a weapon that we've been equipped with. And, of course, to say it, to pray it, to declare it, to decree it, to actually be about the business of getting God's word out into the heavenlies is such an important thing. The truth of God's word carries a power to translate someone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That, you know, the word spoken, you know, that word spoken, that word in season that touches someone's heart at the time that they hear it, and it just brings faith. And that faith is enough to get them out. You know, when they believe in their heart, when they confess with their mouth. How do we hear? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. How do we hear? By the word of God. And we see that connection there, that translation that occurs. And it carries the power to bring ongoing transformation as well as we give ourselves to the word of God and just meditating in the word of God. You know, that transformation that occurs is so very important. The sharpest part in the blade of our sword is the part that is a result, you know, of what God is saying. You know, it's the place where our iron is sharpened by his iron. You know, what God is saying, that's when our sword becomes particularly sharp. You know, those now words. You know, in the Greek, that's the rhema word of God. You know, not the logos, the written word, but the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. And what God is saying. We say that the logos speaks of what God has said. The rhema speaks of what God is saying. And how many of you know God is still speaking today? You know, well, we don't have to look back to the patriarchs to sort of get a revelation about that. We know that God is still speaking today. And I just wanted to look at Matthew chapter 16 as well. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Great scripture. He's Peter making his confession and saying what he believes of Jesus. And it's a good scripture if it stopped there. But of course, it doesn't stop there. And this is why I like this passage so much. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, you didn't nut it out. It wasn't your logic. It wasn't your rational thinking. It wasn't any of that. It was revealed by my Father in heaven. It's what we call revelation knowledge. Revelation is when God reveals something and shows you the true nature of something. You know, it's on that basis that we start to use our sword. When God gives us a deeper revelation about a condition, a circumstance, maybe even a gift of the Spirit starts to flow where we start to discern a spirit. Okay? It's in the Bible. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we begin, you know, the discerning of spirits. What is that? Is when you begin to see the true nature. You know, maybe an attitude or an action that someone keeps to repeating and you start to see something there. You know, the Apostle Paul turned around and cast out a demon of a girl that kept on saying, she was saying all the right things. She was saying everything right. Oh, these are the men of God who bring to us the gospel. She said it for a couple of days. And the thing was, is that he was hearing the right things in his head, but in his spirit, he was getting grieved. What is that? What is this? And he turned around and cast the devil out of her. You say, well, how did he know? In his spirit, he worked it out. You know, you could sort of tell it took a day or two for him to work it out. But when he worked it out, he realized that there was a spirit behind that and cast it off. Discerning of spirits. Very important that we operate in the gifts as well. So, blessed are you, Simon, and I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Talking about hell. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many of you know he wasn't just talking to Peter? He was talking to the church. He was talking to us. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church. What rock is that? Revelation knowledge. That's a rock that we're called to build upon. You know, that's a rock that we're called to live out of. That's a rock that, of course, gives us a very, very sharp sword when we start to wield it. Not what God has said, but what God is saying. Amen. Now, that might be, the application of it might be different from one person to the next sitting in our pews today. The application of it might be, well, I've got this situation at work, I've got someone who's really giving me a hard time. There's your application, or your need to have the sword of the Spirit really sharp, iron sharpening iron, where the Lord gives you a very, very sharp sword in that particular area. Well, you hear from him about how to deal with that. You get a revelation on how to pray around and get behind what it is and bind it. Look what it says. And what I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the whole area of prayer in the battle is so very important, particularly binding and loosing. So, as I said a few weeks ago, we had a lady in here who'd come to a great revelation, had a great testimony, and she realized that there was an assignment against her family set by the enemy, revelation knowledge. And so she said she'd come to the place where she started to cancel the assignment, you know. But, you know, we can bind. You know, effectively what she was saying was that she started to bind that work of the enemy, and so very powerful. You know, when we engage with God and receive revelation knowledge, prayer becomes prophetic. It's true. When we invite the Lord into our prayer life, our prayer goes to another level of not just us praying what we want to pray or what we think would be a good idea to pray, but we then start to pray his prayers. And you've got to understand, Jesus now ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the prayer life that we're actually called to. This is how we do battle. This is how we're called to live. All Christians. Someone says, well, let's just leave that to the intercessors. No, let's not just leave this to the intercessors. We see a church arising in power through prayer. That's what we see, you know. And you know, I believe it's a time where we actually start to really sort of say that's what we recognise. And we're not talking about, all right, everybody, we're having a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Could you all please come to the prayer meeting? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about you lifting up your voice and you starting to say, you starting to pray, you starting, you know, as a church, starting to recognise that there's circumstances and situations prevalent in your life that need to be changed by you praying. Now, there's nothing wrong with coming to a prayer meeting, but we've made sure that we haven't based our need for prayer in the church based on a number of people coming together and assembling. We've realised that we need to pray by faith. We need to pray based on what we're hearing God saying. That's how we pray by faith, because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Amen. So we see the connection there. This is our part in seeing God's will in heaven being done on earth. This is our part. Amen. It's a level of prayer where we become prayer warriors. Who wants to be a prayer warrior? You know, some of us are warriors. You know, we need to be warriors. Amen. You know, we need to become those prayer warriors who know how to take up the sword of the Spirit, use it daily, speaking God's word out over your family, over your marriage, over your children, over our schools, where our children go to school, speaking the word, speaking what God's saying, our workplace, our community. God wants us doing battle in the heavenlies from right where we are, all right? So we're not going to marshal the troops and have a prayer meeting that goes for 24 hours. So, you know, and if God leads that way, we would do that, okay? And I'm not sort of saying that's wrong, but It's that we would all lift in prayer, that we would all start to take up our sword of the Spirit and start to wield it, because God wants to make a difference in your life and the lives of those around you. And it starts with us. It starts with our submission to Him, you know, and His purposes, His will in our lives. Amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning, and we're right on 11 o'clock. And not that we're bound by time, but I say, Lord, you know, I probably don't want to go much longer than half an hour. But, you know, I think it'd be really good for us this morning to make a fresh commitment. And I might even just ask the worship team just to stand right where you are. And I might just get you to hold off. I want you to be a part of this commitment, you know, as a church this morning, and then lead us in worship as well. So let's just lift our hands to the Lord again this morning, and just come into His presence again, just afresh. Father, we just do come. We just come right now in Jesus' name. We thank You, Father God, for Your word today, Lord God. It's work in our lives. It's work in our heart, Lord God. We know that Your word brings forth faith. And Lord, we thank You that there's a fresh faith that's been brought forth today, Lord God, concerning prayer, concerning the ability to fight the good fight of faith. And Lord, we thank You for the battle that, Lord God, we're called to. But we also thank You for the weapons, Father God, and the armor that we've been given, and particularly the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Lord, from this day forward, Father God, we want to pray, but we want to pray what You give us to pray. Lord, we acknowledge You as ever living to make intercession for us. Lord God, that You're praying for us. Our Lord Jesus, You're praying for us. You're saying things about us and about our lives. And Lord, we would pray that as we connect our heart with Yours, as true sons and daughters of the living God, as we connect our hearts with Yours, Lord God, that, Lord, You would begin to reveal those areas, Lord God, that word that we need to speak out, that truth from the Bible, Lord God, that we need to turn into a prayer. Father, that revelation knowledge, Lord, that You bring. Father, we thank You. And, Lord, we thank You that with it, Lord, we're able to bind things on earth. And, Lord God, as we do, they're bound in heaven, Father. Lord, that we're able to loose things on earth, Lord God, set things free. And Lord, as we do, they're set free in heaven. Lord God, that the authority of heaven, Lord God, is given to us to bind and loose, Lord God. And we receive it today. And Lord, take authority in Jesus' name over areas that You show us, things that we need to pray into, Lord. And as Your people, we rise up afresh this day, Father, for the season ahead of us, Lord, in prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, worship team, would you mind coming? Amen. You know, I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you'd like to be prayed for, if you've got a need of any kind at all, I'd love to pray for you. But particularly if you're here with us this morning, you'd say, I've never heard too much about hearing from God and about having a relationship with Him. I just want to let you know that there's an opportunity this morning to actually, you know, receive that prayer. We call it the prayer of acceptance, the prayer of salvation. Some places even called the sinner's prayer. But if that's you this morning and you know it's you, and you know you haven't prayed that prayer before, or even if you'd just like to make a fresh dedication of your life to the Lord, there's an opportunity today to actually pray that prayer. And I just want to invite you to come at the end of this song, just as we close, because we'd just love to stand with you and pray with you and see you through into a new dimension of life that will last you for eternity. Amen? Amen. Let's all worship and go out singing tonight.